Okay, we're back. And regarding the Blowpoke, Mike Greenwood sent me this note. If you go to the Blowpoke website, blowpoke.com, and order a Blowpoke, there's a place to write a message to Mike. If you write in that space that you heard this on Food Talk, Mike will send you a complimentary, that is free, solid bronze hanger with your order. It's a $28 gift. That's at blowpoke.com. There are some new movies that have just opened. Safe Haven, nice romantic movie for Valentine's Day. Pretty People in a Pretty Setting. In North Carolina, it's got, you know, the wholesomeness of a Hallmark Channel movie, a little bit of peril, like in a Lifetime Channel movie. I kind of liked it. It's a sweet love story. Die Hard, A Good Day to Die Hard with Bruce Willis, car crashes, explosions, gunplay galore, and Bruce Willis with that ever-present smirk. Then there's Beautiful Creatures. I like the two young people who play the lead roles. I didn't like the movie overall, though. I didn't like the story too much. And one I saw last weekend, Side Effects with Jude Law and Rooney Mara. It's a good movie for grown-ups. A little bit of a mystery going on there. Okay, it's Food Talk STL on 590 The Fan, KFNS. And coming up next weekend, the Centennial Beer Festival. I went over to the Shoto Room at Mulan down at 2017 Shoto. Spoke to Jason Arnold, the founder of the event, and I asked him to start by giving us sort of a broad overview of the Centennial Beer Festival.
Well, it's the fifth year of an annual festival that we've held here at Mulan Events, and basically it spotlights the growth of beer in St. Louis. We have 20 local breweries, and then in addition to that, we bring in beer from about 80 different breweries around the world.
There are people actually from the local breweries, representatives there to chat with and answer questions.
I think that's the highlight for people. Whether you love beer or whether you're just getting into beer, you can ask the simplest question or the most in-depth question. There are people answering anything from A to Z, and it's intimate enough that you have an opportunity to interact with those folks.
Now, for folks who've never done a beer festival, Jason, do you have some tips on, you know, how to do it? Because you might say, oh, look, there's my favorite Schlafly Pale Ale. But really, you should probably, I mean, even if you love Schlafly Pale Ale, you might want to try other things.
Yeah, it's a good point, David. One thing is moderation is a fantastic idea going into it. You may want to eat a little bit before you get here. You don't want to fill up. You want to have a little bit of food in your stomach, and then go outside your comfort zone. This is the opportunity to try a little taste of beer that maybe you're not ready to commit money towards a six-pack, and then try something new. So if you're a big fan of lagers, maybe you want to do a couple pale ales. If you're a big fan of stouts, maybe you want to try some porters. But work outside your comfort zone, because with 120, 150 beers here, you're going to have an opportunity to taste something that maybe would cost you a lot of money if you're buying them a six-pack at a time.
Now, somebody once told me that, you know, you go from lighter to heavier, but I think, you know, just kind of skipping around and tasting various, you know, whatever's next on the line is my favorite way to do those things. How about you?
Well, yeah, I think the casual approach is just kind of walk around and try some of the breweries from brewery to brewery. And typically lighter to darker is not a bad plan if you can do that. And over the course of 3 hours, you're not going to be able to taste 180 beers that we have here, but you will be able to kind of work that through. Now, one thing I've learned, there's a style of beer called an IPA, an India Pale Ale, that's very hoppy. And I like it because it can also act as a little bit of a palate cleanser. It'll wake your palate up because of the hop content of it. So maybe your tongue is getting a little tired at some point. Try and find an IPA, wake your palate up, get a little bit of water, and then start over again.
And for some people, I know for me, the hoppy flavored beers have been kind of an acquired taste, because the first time you taste those, they're a little bit weird. How did you get used to IPAs?
I entirely agree with you. When it was first introduced to me years ago, I felt it was kind of a not natural concept in flavors. But as you grow with beer, you start to, as I said, work outside your comfort zone. And you'll find that the American IPAs are super hoppy. And then you start to find that different IPAs use different hops, and then they have different taste profiles. So it's kind of just the next level. It's kind of exciting to see, taste different hops, and learn more about what the profiles of those hops are.
Okay, we're visiting with Jason Arnold here at Mulan Events. It's in the building that has Vendicet and PW Pizza at 2017 Shoto in the city, a historic building. If you would like to maybe give the short version of the history of this building, which has incredible beer connections, Jason.
Yeah, and that's really how this festival started. This was the malt house cellar for the Schneider Brewing Company. This building was built in 1876. The rest of the brewery has since been destroyed, but this is the last remaining building. We've put about $4.5 million into it to host this festival in addition to our restaurants that are here. And it's just fantastic. It's a beautiful restoration project, typical of St. Louis in the late 1800s, early 1900s. And it's just a fantastic venue for something like a beer festival that at this point is celebrating 20, 25 local and regional breweries, most of which have come into existence in the last five to 10 years.
I'll name some names of local breweries offhand, and you can confirm that they'll be here. Well, Six Row is doing the beer dinner on Friday night, the 22nd. That's sold out. But in addition to Six Row, Four Hands, Schlafly, Urban Chestnut, Civil Life, O'Fallon. Are there a couple more offhand?
Yeah, Civil Life is new this year. They've just been in existence about a year and a half and make some fantastic beers. There are a new one that you may not have heard of is Back Creek. They're coming from outside of town a little bit. Our friends up the street, Square One, we're working with Kirkwood Station that you'll start to see more often out in the marketplace. Perennial will be here, and Second Shift will be here. Both of them have come in and for past beer festivals.
The folks from St. Jen.
Crown Valley, thank you for that reminder. Charlottesville will be here as well. I hope I haven't missed anyone.
And the Kansas City favorites, Boulevard, will be here with some of their flavors.
Boulevard will be here, and they'll actually be represented through their distributor. As I said, over 180 different breweries. I think there should be plenty for people to sample. The thing that I love about the St. Louis beer scene is that it's still very approachable. And what I mean by that is you can stop into a tasting room and you might meet Florian, who was a big deal at Michelob and now is the brewer at Urban Chestnut. He's there on site. He's making the beer. There aren't a lot of obstacles to get to meet these beer people, and they love to talk about their products. So this is another opportunity. You come to the festival, you meet these people. These are the ones driving the growth of the beer in the craft beer in the St. Louis market.
We're visiting with Jason Arnold here at Moulin, getting ready for the Centennial Beer Festival, which is going to be on Saturday, February 23rd. And would you give all the vital statistics and the costs and how folks can get tickets, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. The best place to get tickets is to go to the website. So it's centennialbeerfestival.com. And of course, David mentioned it's on Saturday, the 23rd. We have two sessions, one from 2 to 5 and the second from 6 to 9. We have a general price for tickets in the afternoon is $31.50 plus tax. And we have in the evening is $41.50 plus tax. And you can buy tickets online. We will have them available at the door if they don't sell out. And you can upgrade your ticket to a VIP component for an extra $15. What that gets you is some of the more unique beers that are reserve beers. You get a little bit of food sampling in there as well. And, of course, there's plenty of food options here at the beer festival, including our two restaurants.
And you mentioned talking to the people who actually make the beer and asking them questions. But the camaraderie among the people who attend the beer festivals, would you talk a little bit about your experiences, the past four Centennial Beer Festivals, just visiting with the folks who come in to sample the beer?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this started the first year. I think we had 150 people total join us, and a very small event, very intimate. And even though it's grown from that, you're going to find that the focus of this event, it's not maybe the focus of some of the larger beer festivals that are held outside in the summertime. This will give you a great opportunity to connect not only with the breweries, but the other people around you who obviously love beer and who maybe for the first time are trying beer of this nature. So it's a great opportunity to just learn more about beer and find out what you like and maybe, you know, the things that you haven't tried before.
Yeah, you meet folks who've been drinking like Schlafly since the day they opened and know everything. And then there's other people who was like, hey, you know, you're opening up the world to me.
I think, you know, one of the fun things that we see here is inevitably somebody will bring a beer that just connects with people. And then by the end of the festival, you've seen that word has gotten around just in the short 2 or 3 hours. And all of a sudden that beer is, everybody's going to that brewery and trying that beer. Either they haven't tried it before or it's just that fantastic. So that usually does happen.
Anheuser-Busch Brewery, they will be represented because AB InBev is actually buying up some brands. Goose Island is now an AB InBev brand, and some others from them that'll be here.
I think AB has been in the news quite a bit in the last 3 or 4 years, and I think a lot of people are still loyal to AB, and I think it's a fantastic brewery. If it weren't for Anheuser-Busch, I'm not sure that this type of festival or the type of growth that we've seen in the craft beer market would really be possible in St. Louis. So there's plenty of room for everyone. They're going to have some of their new Shock Top products. You've probably seen the Black Crown. They also own Beck's Sapphire, so that may be something that they're bringing to the festival as well. So again, some of these, if you're familiar with Bud Light and you're familiar with their Bud products, they're starting to work outside of their comfort zone a little bit, and they're starting to put some new products out there, which is exciting to see.
To me, it sounds overwhelming just to have that many different beers, beer brands, and beer flavors. And as you mentioned, you kind of mentioned briefly, there will be food even if you don't buy the VIP ticket.
You can come to the festival, not leave the festival floor, and still purchase some pub food right there, so you can get recharged and get back out there and drink some beers. The other reference point is the website. So I will have a posting of what the anticipated beer list will be, and you can go to the website a day or two before or a week before, and you could kind of highlight some of the ones that you think look interesting to you, and then you can find them versus having to find them that day on the floor. Yeah, 3 hours can go by quickly when you're drinking beer, but you can maybe do just a bit of pre-planning and make sure you get to try the ones that you're looking forward to trying. In addition, of course, we have PW Pizza here on the first floor. That'll be open before the festival at 11 a.m. and open until 11 p.m. that night. And then Vindicet is fantastic. They are open at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're open till the kitchen's open till midnight as well. So before and after, plenty of food options, not to mention our restaurant up the street one block away, 1111 Mississippi.
Okay, it's going to be fun. Hey, thanks, buddy.
All right, thank you, David.
Okay, that's Jason Arnold, and again, the website is centennialbeerfestival.com, and it's happening a week from today. In the next segment, if you want to live to be 100, we're going to talk to Dr. Mao. He has the Secrets of Longevity cookbook, and in the book, he has some good tips for dining out, and we'll see if we can get him to share those with us in the next segment. And the movie reviews, we talked about some of the new movies. You can find extended reviews at davidcraigmovies.com. Back with more food talk next on 590 The Fan, KFNS.